And I had been going to Sunday school for a few years. And Eddie went to a Sunday school. And Eddie posed this question to me. He said, "Al, are you saved?" So I'm not saved. Are you saved? And I had to be honest with Eddie that night. I was not saved. I said, "No, Eddie, I'm not saved." And it really remained with me that time that Eddie asked me that question, and I had to say no. If it would have been a few years later when I was 16 years old, I could have said yes to Eddie. But at that time, I had to say no. And I would like to ask you this evening, ask yourself that question. Whatever your name is, are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Be honest with yourself. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank Thee for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I want to look in the book of Ecclesiastes this evening for a couple of verses. Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter. Verse 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, to every time, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Just think of that second verse there, a time to be born. Everyone in this world, there is a time when you were born. And there will be a time that you will die if the Lord doesn't come first, if you know Him as your Savior. But those that do not know the Lord as their Savior, there's going to be a time of death. So there's a time to be born and a time to die. And you look in this creation that is around us, you see trees. You see some trees that are hundreds of years old, and yet they come to the point that they die. And they'll come to a point in your life that you will die. But there's another time in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And look at the second time here. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So to you that's honest with yourself, and you answered no to that question, today is a time of salvation for you. Today is that time that you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ this very evening and know that you're saved and know that you're on your way to heaven. Because life is very unpredictable. Remember that verse? There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Many years ago, we went on a vacation to the Ocean Beach in Washington, a place that we have always enjoyed going. It's a place called Claylock. It's up on the Olympic Peninsula. And we pulled into this beach, and we got a location where we could overlook the beach and the waves. The campground in this area is up maybe 30 feet or so above the level of the beach. And so it's very nice to get one light right on the edge of the bluff where you can look out, you can see the ocean. Very pleasant. So we got a nice place there, and we had lunch, and I was sitting out in front of the trailer after lunch, and I was looking down at the waves, and I noticed there was some young people on a raft out just beyond the breakers, and they were having a pretty good time, it looked like. The breakers were coming in fairly high, and I imagine you ones that surfed, you would have probably enjoyed the waves that were coming in. These ones had been out there quite a while. They weren't little children. They were young adults in their 20s and in their late teens. And they were just having a great time. But one problem that we have up north in the Washington coast is that the water isn't as warm as it is in Southern California. And so these ones that were out there, they got hypothermia. They got too cold. And they began having trouble hanging onto the raft. And we noticed that a big wave come along and it just toppled them all over into the ocean. Let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit of history about these ones that were in this raft. There was a family that had come to this campground for a reunion. And they had taken three camping spots right on the bluff above the ocean. And they had been there for a week, enjoying really beautiful weather, enjoying the ocean, and just relaxing and enjoying each other. Just like we've been doing here. Only they weren't over God's Word, which we've been over here at this time in Lassen. Well, to come back to the raft and the trouble of the young people that were on the raft, they were now in the ocean. Some of them were able to grab hold of the edge of the raft, and some of them started to swim back in the shore. And the father of a couple of them, he saw what was happening, and he ran down to try to help them. He hit the water. And I don't know whether it was the exertion coming down and then hitting that cold water or what, but he dropped over when he was out in about waist water and just fell into the water head first. Well, there was other people. There was a great number of people in the campground because it's a campground of probably 100 to 150 spots. And there was quite a number of people that came running down to help. And so they were able to pull these ones that were swimming towards shore, pull them in, and some others went out and helped get the ones off the raft. And they got this father, and they brought him to shore, and they started working on him right away. They started giving him artificial respiration. And there was three nurses in the campground. And there was one doctor in the campground. And so he didn't have any lack of people that were professionally trained to help ones that were in trouble. And actually, a couple of these nurses were nurses that worked in the emergency room. So they saw cases like this. And there was one girl, this man's daughter, that they couldn't locate the ones that were out there trying to bring the other ones in. They couldn't locate her. And so they continued to work on this man for maybe a half an hour. I went down there and heard the doctor tell the ones that were working on him, it's no use, he's gone. And the doctor pronounced him dead at that point. There was a Coast Guard helicopter that came by and started searching for the young girl. She was a girl, about 22. Beautiful girl, long, dark hair. And they searched up and down along the waves, and pretty soon the helicopter dropped down close to the water and recovered this girl's body. This had been maybe an hour later. And both of these bodies were brought up right close by our trailer, so we could see them as they came out. Two people that had been enjoying a very nice time. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were just enjoying life. And suddenly, their life was gone, just like that. Just like that. They had the help there that was necessary to save them, but it was their time to die. Their time to die. How much longer do you have? How much longer do you have? In Psalms 39, let's turn to there just for a verse. Psalms 39 and verse 4. And this is another question that you need to ask yourself. I asked you one, but here the scripture is asking you one. Lord, make me to know my end. Those two people, I have no idea where they are now, whether they're in heaven or they're in hell. Lord, make me to know my end. We find in the scripture, it tells us that from Adam down to this point, people are born, people die. Even Methuselah, he lived 969 years, but then it said he died. We find only Enoch and Elijah that escaped death in the Old Testament. And there's going to be only those that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior that's going to escape death in this day and age that we live in. At the point of your death, what is your condition? What will be your condition? Will you have an entrance into glory and be with the Lord that came into this world to save your soul? Or will you be like the rich man? We read in Luke of a rich man, Lazarus. He lifted up his eyes. Where did he lift up his eyes? He was in hell. There's no waiting place in between. Paul said, absent from the body, present for the Lord. But this rich man that did not know the Lord Jesus, he lifted up his eyes in hell. What is your condition? What is your end? What will be your end? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. I oftentimes like to, when I go to a graveyard, I like to look around at the gravestones, see when the person was born, when he died. And sometimes there's a refreshing note that gives an indication that the body might be in the grave there, but that person's soul is in glory with the Lord Jesus. Because they'll have a verse on their absence from the body, present with the Lord, or some other verse that would indicate to you that they knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they're in heaven at this time. When we were in England a month or so ago, we went to an old graveyard in the city of Warwick. And there was a lot of gravestones there. Old gravestones. And some of the gravestones, you couldn't even read the names and the dates on them. Time had wore away the engraving. Your sins have come between you and God. In Hebrews 9:27, it says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Once to die and then the judgment. There's no reincarnation. There's no thing other than death and then judgment. Unless you know Christ, then there's a happy prospect of being with our Savior. Now I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 26. And I'm just thinking of the latter part of the verse, which says, "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." This he here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he came into this world for, was to put away sin, so that you might be with him in glory. And I would just like to read at this time three verses in John that tells us very simply the way that you can be assured of being in glory with our Savior. John chapter 1, very familiar verse. Verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And this verse applies even to this day. Even to this day. You can call upon the Lord Jesus. You can receive him into your heart and know that you're saved. And then that wonderful verse that we have in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I'd like to take us now over to Luke and read about the crucifixion. The Gospel of Luke, verse 23, chapter 23, excuse me. This was the purpose of our Savior coming into this world, to go to the cross. That was his purpose, to come into the world, was to go to Calvary's cross and suffer there under the hands of God for our sins. Now let's verse 26, "And as they led him away, they laid hold on one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Then verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus," now listen, this is a, it really touches our hearts, I believe. Here is the Lord Jesus crucified on the cross. And what did he say to the ones that had crucified him? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. "And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Think of the abuse the Lord Jesus took from men. Even a man that was crucified with him was abusing the Lord Jesus with his mouth. He went through all this for you, dear person. He went through all this anguish to hang on the cross here, all this ridicule, all this abuse. He went through it for you, dear person. For you that do not know Him as your Savior, He went through it for you too. And He could turn and say, Father, forgive them. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doth thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Scripture tells us that you're condemned if you don't know the Savior. You're on your way to condemnation if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But you can change that this evening. You can change it just like this thief did. This next one that we're going to read about. The other answering rebuked him, saying, Doth thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. This man was honest, this thief. Are you honest with yourself this evening? That's all I'm asking you to be, is honest with yourself. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to you this evening. And Christ is being presented to you as your Savior. Will you accept Him as this thief did? Or you reject Him as the other thief did? And he said to Jesus, Lord. He called Jesus Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just a simple request. And you too this evening can just give a very simple request to the Savior. Lord, save me. That's all you have to do. Lift up your voice to Him and say, Lord, save me. You don't have to speak out loud. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the moment you lift up your heart to the Savior, you're going to be saved. Right at that time. The Philippian jailer, he came to Paul and he said, Paul and Silas, and he said, What must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what this malefactor did. That's what this thief did here that was crucified with the Lord Jesus. He believed on the Lord. He knew that this was the King. And he knew that he was going to come into his kingdom. And he said, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he called him Lord. Can you address Jesus as Lord this evening? And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's turn back to Isaiah 53 just for a moment, just to read some verses there. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, He is despised, He is rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. Are you hiding your face from the Savior tonight? We hid as our faces from Him, and He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. That was what was happening during those hours of darkness. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You want your sins washed away? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have your sins washed away, because He bore your sins. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, and yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken, and He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death, because He hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, for He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, it pleased God to bruise Him. Why? Because we would be lost, totally lost, lost for eternity, if the Lord Jesus had not bore our sins on Calvary's cross there. But now we can have assurance of salvation, have assurance of being saved and having our sins washed away. Do you want to be saved this evening? There's a very simple verse in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10. Romans 10. Begin at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 13th verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be saved. So that very simply is the gospel message to you this evening. But I want to go on and just look at some other verses. Delay upon your soul the urgency, the need of accepting Christ this very evening. In Genesis 6:13, it says, the end of all flesh has come before me. This is God talking. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 7th verse, this is before the flood, the one in Genesis. But this one in Peter, 1 Peter 4, 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. the end of all things is at hand. You know, we enjoy things down here. We see things, we do things. We enjoy life. We enjoy the things that are around us. But this verse in Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. As I had told you about camping at the ocean, I'll tell you another camping story. There's another place we used to camp, and a very favorite place of ours, and that was at Spirit Lake at Mount St. Helens. And most all of you know, Mount St. Helens erupted, I believe, in 1982. But there was a campground at the base of that mountain on the shore of Spirit Lake. And this lake was a beautiful lake. The campground was a beautiful campground. And we had spent many a day there, camping there, before the mountain erupted. The forests around there, beautiful forests, huge trees, pristine vegetation. I mean, it's just beautiful, green, lush. The lake was a lake that you could go out in a boat and look down, and in 30 feet of water you could see fish swimming around. It was that clear. The mountain was a beautiful shaped mountain. You've seen pictures of Mount Fuji? Well, St. Helens looked like Mount Fuji. Just a perfect cone. There was just one little jutting out of rock on one flank of it. That was called Dog's Head. And the year before it erupted, we camped there. We enjoyed all the things around there. We enjoyed huckleberries off the side of the mountain that were as big as your thumb, the end of your thumb. And you could sit down by a bush and pick the huckleberries off it. They were so plentiful. And then in a moment of time, all of that was gone. All of those things that we enjoyed. That campground, that forest, that lake. It was gone. That beautiful mountain, the front part of it just blown out. And now you look at the mountain, it's not a thing of beauty anymore. The campground's buried under 300 feet of mud and ash. There was a man there that he ran a general store. His name was Truman. He lays under that 300 foot of ash. His body does. I'm sure his soul rests in hell because he was a very vile man. I shouldn't use the word rest in hell because there's no resting. Get my tongue straightened around. In hell, it's a terrible place. A terrible place. But you know, in a moment of time, everything was changed. The things that we enjoyed was changed. And there's going to come a time when all the things down here is going to be changed too. Let's turn to another verse in Peter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We'll read verse 1 through 14. Well, we'll begin at verse 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And remember in the Gospels, it says that they were eating, They were drinking. They were marrying wives. They were doing all the things that we do in this time. And then the flood came and carried them away. But the heaven and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's been long-suffering to you. And he's allowed you to hear one more gospel message. He was long-suffering to me. I heard the gospel message when I was about 8 years old. And it wasn't until I was 16 that I turned to my Savior and asked him into my heart. He was long-suffering. Don't wait that many years like I did. Not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want to put you in hell. He doesn't want to cast you into the lake of fire. He loves you. It says, for God so loved the world, and the world includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son. But that all should come to repentance. He wants you to come to him. The Lord Jesus is standing with his arms wide open, ready to receive you. 10th verse. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation with godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, this is the ones of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, whose promise? God's promise. The Lord Jesus' promise. Look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then there's a verse that I'd like to quote again that Brother Ken quoted last night. What shall the end of them that obey not? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall be their end? Let's turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22:13. And when the king came in to see the guests, this is a marriage feast. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man that had not on a wedding garment. Do you have the garments of salvation on you? And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. We're going to look at the great white throne in a little bit. The ones that stand before that throne, they're going to be speechless too. You know, sometimes when we fail down here, say at work or at school, we fail in some way or another, and we come up with an excuse. There'll be no excuse that day. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him to outer darkness, and there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bound hand and foot, outer darkness. You'll have no friends there. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. This is the Word of God. This isn't my thoughts. This is God speaking to you. And I saw, 11th verse, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who is this one? This is the one that hung on Calvary's cross. The same one that hung on Calvary's cross. The same one that underwent all that ridicule, all that abuse, all that suffering. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This is going to be honest judgment. You'll get exactly what you deserve. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn over to 21st chapter. Fifth verse. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, are you fearful this evening? You fit in this category if you are. Unbelieving? Are you unbelieving this evening? You notice it's not the terrible murderers and the whoremongers and all these other terrible persons that come first. No, the first ones that are mentioned here are the fearful and the unbelieving. And murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all liars. Here's liars here too. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Well, this is a warning. These verses that we read is warning. It's warning you to flee from the wrath that awaits you. Flee from the wrath that awaits you and turn to the Savior. The Savior that awaits to take you in His arms. Because in Matthew 11:28 it says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then we find in this next chapter, at the end of the book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, we have some invitations here too. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And him that is athirst, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You can do that this evening. You can come. You can take Christ as your Savior this very night. You know, when we were in England, we rented a car, and I found that there was driving over there was a little bit different than it is here in the States and in Canada. First of all, you're driving on the wrong side of the road. Everything in your car is on the wrong side. So when you go to turn your turn signals where you'd automatically turn them, your windshield washers will come on. So everything is kind of backwards. They think it's correct and right. But anyway, one of the things that I'd like to mention about driving over there is that they really don't have very many intersections at all. It's where the roads come together. They'll have a circle. And you get on this circle, or this roundabout, you'll go around until you find the place, where the road that you need to turn off on. And so before you come up to the roundabout, you'll have signs that'll say, first exit off goes to such and such town. The next one goes to such and such town, and so on around, wherever you want to go. And you see this. Well, you got to keep it in your mind, because you get up to the roundabout, you'll have another little sign that'll say, exit here if you're going to this. Now, remember, on this roundabout, all the cars are going around in the same direction. They're not going in opposite directions. So you've got this traffic that's flowing around the same direction. And some of the large interchanges where they're coming off some of the freeways and so forth, intersections, because even the freeways do the same thing. They don't have off-ramps and on-ramps and so forth. You get on this a big roundabout and you go around, you'll have maybe four or five lanes of traffic going around the same direction, and you'll have different exits that you've got to take off as you go around. Now, if you get in the wrong place, say if you get in the outside of the roundabout, and the first exit is maybe another freeway taken off, and there's three or four lanes that are exiting there, and you're on this lane here, and you want to go up to the next place, you've got to go with the flow of the traffic and get off there. But you've got to know where you're going. But their signs are marked. And this evening, we've given you signs from the Scripture. We've given you the way of salvation. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so it's very clear in the Scripture. Salvation is so simple. Like we mentioned before, the Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so you have to make sure that you get off at the right point. Now there's some people that they miss their turnoff. And so they go around and around in a circle. One time we went around about twice before we finally picked the right road to go off on. And if you go around far enough and you take an exit, you're going back the same way you came. But Scripture tells us very plainly, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are death. There's a broad way that goes off. Just like I said, there's some of these exits that exit off on the freeway, and it's a broad, easy way to get off because all the traffic's flowing that way. But it may not be the exit that you want. But there's a narrow way that leads unto life. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only Savior. So as you go around, and I know there's people that they're on the roundabout and they're just going around in circles and in circles. But you know, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision to turn off on that exit that's going to lead you to heaven. That's going to give you salvation. And you've got to do it tonight. You can't wait because you don't know. You might be ending up this camp and you might leave here and something disastrous happened to you. Your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Lord, make me to know my end. That's what I asked you this evening. Make me to know my end. I know my end. If I should die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If the Lord should come, I'm going to go up to be with Him in glory. Not because I'm Alan Cantrell, but because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Do you? Let's bow in prayer. Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank Thee that salvation is so very simple. And we would just pray that souls here in this room might be honest with themselves, and that they might be honest with Thee, and that they might come to Thee and ask Thee, Lord Jesus, into their heart. We would just ask for blessing now this evening upon Thy Word. We would thank Thee for Thy Word. We would thank Thee for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we would ask in His precious name, Amen.